Yeah.
Our speaker tonight is Dr. Knipple, and the topic is liturgy and personal devotions, and I believe he has handouts.
I sure do.
Before or after?
Right now, if you want to do that. I reframed the topic a bit, if that's okay.
That's fine.
If it's not okay, it's reframed.
It's not okay, it's too late.
Liturgical resources for the pastor devotional life. Liturgical resources for the pastor's devotional life. And as I said a little bit ago, it gave me an opportunity to pay a bit more of attention to some material that I had nodded at, but not given a long look at. Some of it, of course, is old material, favorites of mine that have been around for a while and I've personally made use of, and can say good things about them, too. Well, on the first page, this is the kind of material I dealt with. And this is very selected. This is very selected, as you can see. The first, Lutheran liturgical devotional books. And then secondly, books with liturgical resources for adoption or adaption or adaptation. When I looked about for Lutheran liturgical devotional books, I came up with some that I know are well known to you. At least the titles and the authors are, but I couldn't be sure whether you had given them focused attention or not. And I thought, well, perhaps you haven't. And if you haven't, that's good for tonight. John Doberstein's book, Minister's Prayer Book, the first edition of that was done, let me take a peek here, back in the 50s. I didn't note that anywhere, but I believe it was back in the 50s, and now it's been redone because of the new service books and the new pericopic systems, or the three-year cycle of readings. It should tell me here. I read it just this afternoon again. 1959. And basically, the 1959 edition and the 1986 edition are the same, except the new edition makes use of Lutheran Book of Worship and the new pericopic systems, the three-year reading cycle. Then George Krause's first book, By Word and Prayer, A Pastor's Daily Prayer and Study Guide, 1977, from Concordia Publishing House, this book. Then George did an update that we'll take a look at, The Pastor at Prayer, also from Concordia Publishing House. Then the standard for a long time, at least in my life, Herb Lindemann's book, The Daily Office. The Daily Office. I assume that it's still about available at Concordia Publishing House and at the seminary bookstore. The newest of the material are the two volumes by Robert Sauer, and these are really updates of the Lindemann material because of the new service books and the new orders of service, morning prayer and evening prayer, and the new pericopes. So Doberstein, Krause, two books, Lindemann and Sauer's two volumes of daily prayer, volume one, The Time of Christmas and Easter, and volume two, The Time of the Church. Then books with liturgical resources for adoption or adaption, I simply turn to Lutheran Worship Agenda, Lutheran Worship Altar Book, and would like to show you, if you're not aware of it, something very, very new, from Concordia Publishing House. It's dated 1988, and this is David Zerson's Nurturing Personal Spiritual Growth. And here's the workbook and the videotape that goes along with. And this is primarily for use within circuits by pastors gathering together with their circuit counselor and Winkel conferences. So that's the material. I'm sure there is much more material, but I limited myself to Lutheran material and material used, widely within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So first of all, then, Doberstein's book, Minister's Prayer Book. I think, for example, Dr. Hempelman and Professor Picorni use this book frequently for opening prayers in their classes. And I would just like to read from this and get acquainted with the book. The preface says, this book provides a scheme and materials for the minister's daily devotions. The basic scheme of devotions revolves around seven themes of the minister's calling in life distributed over the 7 days of the week. So I should say here, not everything is really liturgical in a narrow sense of the term, but some creativity has taken place in the production of the writing by the author. But if you want to look at themes, they're at the bottom of the page by the asterisk. To Sunday, he gives the theme, the divine institution and commission of the ministry. Monday, the promise and responsibility of the ministry. Tuesday, the minister's life. Wednesday, the minister as confessor. Thursday, the minister as pastor. Friday, the minister as intercessor. And Saturday, the minister as preacher. These themes govern the prayers, he says, lessons on the ministry, readings from the anthology of meditations for ministers. By anthology, it means here are readings from a number of different sources, from a variety of churchmen. And finally, intercessions provided for each day of the week. Within each day, one structure containing 12 elements is provided. It says, see the order of devotion and suggested orders on page 8. Let me show you that, beginning at the bottom of the page, an order of devotion. These are the ingredients. Invitatory, you see it there, hymn for the week, confession, psalm, creed, lesson on the ministry, reading from the anthology, collect for the week, prayers, intercession in the Lord's Prayer, evening commendation, and benedictions. Comment is made, obviously it is not expected the pastor will use all of these materials at a single sitting. It will be noted in the case of invitatories, prayers, and benedictions that three choices are given. This will provide variation from day to day for those who may wish to use the materials as a single daily devotion, or for those who use them for morning, noon, and evening prayer, as indicated in the suggested orders. So there's even more than one order. You can have one devotion a day, two devotions a day. The suggestion is made, of three devotions a day, morning, noon, and evening. In any case, the pastor should use what is possible and profitable to him and let the rest go. At the beginning, to attempt too much is as dangerous as too little. Running concurrently with the basic seven-day scheme of the minister's calling is the scheme of the church year, so it becomes a bit more focused in terms of our liturgical interest here. So there is a more liturgical part of the book, properly speaking. The church year and its lessons govern the text, hymn, psalm, daily lessons, and the collect for the week. See the propers for the church year. The numbers of the suggested hymns for the week are those of the Lutheran Book of Worship, and that tells you, of course, that this is published by Fortress Press in Philadelphia. A two-year cycle of daily lessons is provided with three lessons for each day. The first may be used as a morning lesson, and the second and the third as evening lessons, and the three lessons may be used according to whatever arrangement seems appropriate. The collection of prayers of preparation for ministry provides additional materials which may also find their place in daily devotions, and the anthology, Meditations for Ministers, furnishes extra biblical materials for meditation. This little book is just a gem. Just imagine, all of that is in this small volume. I am impressed. I hope you are too. But if we look on to the next page, you have 12 components or 12 ingredients in an order of devotion, and you may select those that you want or vary it from time to time. But here's the suggestion. For example, in morning prayer, you might choose invitatory, morning prayer, psalm, lesson from the church year lectionary, meditation and free prayer, collect for the week, and benediction. Whereas at noon, the invitatory, hymn for the week, text for the week, lesson on the ministry, prayer, benediction. Then in the evening, invitatory, confession, psalm, lesson from church year lectionary, reading from the anthology, evening commendation, intercessions, evening prayer, and benediction. So it's a very versatile book, a lot of material, and a lot of versatility in the way that the material might be used. And noticing that suggested for morning prayer is free prayer following meditation. So for those of us who perhaps like to mix a more liturgical form with something a little bit more freestyled, it's suggested, even encouraged here. Why don't I pass that around if you would like to see it? As I read this again, I'm impressed that all of that is in that little book, but the pages, the paper is rather thin, isn't it? It's sturdy paper, but it's rather thin. There's a lot packed in there. How many pages?
470 or so pages in here.
I didn't count them. Are there really? 470?
490 including the index.
I'm impressed. Okay. Any comments there? I'll keep going on, and then we can talk about it at the end. All right, the next book is the first George Kraus book. I assume I often use this, or have used it in the past, for opening prayers in my classes. This was a very unique and unusual book, and still is, as well as his second one. By the way, I guess some of you know Dr. Kraus is very gravely ill with cancer at the present time, was rushed back to the hospital last week. That was the last word I heard, and haven't heard anything since then. I'm sorry to hear that. Well, at any rate, this was a very welcome book. This doesn't happen to be my copy, but I think my copy was given to me by some youngsters in a confirmation class, and I appreciated that. By Word and Prayer, a Pastor's Daily Prayer and Study Guide. Now, only a part of this, I suppose, you could really consider liturgical in a narrow sense of the term. But the book has the following sections. First of all, the daily devotion. And the daily devotion includes the preparation. Preparation means the hymn of the day. And you'll notice in this 1977 edition, we're working with the service book and hymnal of the American Lutheran Church and the Lutheran Church in America and the Lutheran Hymnal and the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. That was one of the reasons we needed an update. So preparation is the hymn of the day and the prayer of commitment. Then comes the act of reconciliation, which includes the confession and the profession of faith. This is the format. We're talking about a format. The word and doctrine section with the psalm, the scripture reading, and he has a 65-week cycle. I thought that was interesting. I'm not sure I still understand that. And then, in addition to his suggested scripture reading, a liturgical lesson that was based on the historic soul pericope system, our pericopic system. And then one of the unique features of George's work is that not only do you read scripture, but you read through the Book of Concord within a 65-week cycle. Next, the prayers, the pastoral prayer, special requests and thanksgiving, additional short prayers, the Lord's Prayer, the closing doxology, and the evening prayers. And in these sections, a number of offerings are presented, not just one, but a number of possibilities. And then comes the section of liturgical lessons and hymnody. This section includes a complete set of daily readings arranged for the Lutheran calendar plus minor and lesser festivals. Quote, the appointed Sunday and festival lessons follow the new Lutheran liturgical calendar for all synods. See, we're in that transitional period at this point. You remember much of the preliminary material or trial material has been published in small volumes and being circulated in the churches. The collects are those from Contemporary Worship 6, the church year calendar and lectionary. I think maybe there have been some changes, but they were probably minor. Then three scripture readings, the Book of Concord, so there is a table. In three there is a table. What did I do? I don't like what I did here. No, that's okay. That's okay. There is a table then of scripture readings of how to do the Book of Concord readings, prayers for the great festivals, and a section that he speaks of as affirmations. Now, when he did his update, when he did his revision, I'm going to pass that around, the pastor at prayer in 1983, he pretty much followed the same format, but there are some changes in terminology and there are also some changes in content, but now we're dealing with the Lutheran Book of Worship and Lutheran worship and the new three-week, three-year cycle of readings. But I notice here He doesn't pay much attention to that. Oh, well. Okay, same thing. Just watch for some of the different terminology. He still has a section, the daily devotion. So that's the format. There's one for Monday, Tuesday. I don't guess I told you that. There's one for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Trying to think if there's one for Sunday. I'm getting my books confused. And there is one for Sunday. It's in here. There is not one for Sunday. It's in Sauer's book. There is not one for Sunday. Okay. So we have the preparation, again, the hymn of the day, the prayer of commitment, then the act of reconciliation, the confession, the profession of faith, and now he added the profession of faith and praise of the Divine Trinity. The word and doctrine, including the psalm of the day, the liturgical lesson of the day, and he says the readings reflect concerns of the liturgical calendar, but it's pretty much his. It's pretty much his, but what he says is he did pay attention to the liturgy. I haven't checked it out to see how accurate that may be from our perspective. The scripture reading, again, remains the same, and the Book of Concord reading in a 65-week cycle remains the same. Prayers, you'll see there's some additions. Long prayer of the day, short prayer of the day. Guess if you're all pooped out, you use the short one, huh? Rather than the long one. The liturgical prayer for the day, special requests and thanksgiving. The liturgical prayer for evening, the festival prayer, the Lord's prayer, the closing doxology. If you're using it in the evening again, the evening prayer. So that's the format that's suggested for every day. Not that you would have to use all of these components, but they're available to you. And again, there's one for, I want to see what day it starts on, whether it starts on, I think it starts on Sunday, if I remember that correctly. Yes, it does. Starts on Sunday and goes through Saturday. Okay. Then there's a section with festival prayers. The liturgical life, he offers a theme for each week, a weekly theme. Liturgical lessons and hymnody, minor festivals, scripture readings, and the Book of Concord readings. So you can see he's refined it a bit, but it's basically the same format. Very valuable book. Now the one that I have very warm feelings and good thoughts about, simply because it's more of a product of my generation, is Herb Lindemann's book, The Daily Office. And this was kind of the first of its kind to provide us with, so to speak, a Lutheran breviary. And it was a notable moment for our church. Okay, Herb Lindemann. I don't even know whether Pastor Lindemann is still alive or not. I don't know. Does anybody know? I haven't seen him for years. When I was a member of the English district, I would see him at conventions. If he is alive, he's elderly. Well, what we have in this book, basically, this is a book, as it says, the daily office, the breviary, matins and vespers, you know, out of the Lutheran hymnal, a la the Lutheran hymnal, based on traditional liturgical patterns with scripture readings, hymns, canticles, litanies, collects, the Psalter, designed for private devotion or group worship. So this has been very nice for us, for family use, as well as for individual use. And the same is true, of course, of Sauer's material. Well, here's a quotation. This is interesting. The biblical selections as such are such as are widely used in all Christian bodies. It would have been prohibitively expensive to print out the selections in full for every day of the year. On the other hand, it was highly desirable to make the book as inclusive as possible. Now that's interesting that they said that in 1965, but when Sauer's book came along now, the Bible readings are all printed out in full. Of course, you have two volumes. You have two volumes of about that size, but they're printed out. But what Lindemann did was, he said, a way out of the apparent dilemma was found in the procedure of certain German books of devotions to suggest a Spruchvers for each day. Those who wish to content themselves with these brief texts may do so. Others may read the entire lection for the day from the Bible, the reference being indicated in parentheses with the Spruchvers. So all it is just a verse from a larger reading, and a larger reading is suggested. So for Matins and Vespers, Lindemann's book contains the propers for the seasons and the propers for the minor festivals. And in the appendix, you will find an order for prime. Now, let's see if I remember this well. Prime is 6 in the morning, right? Terce is 9 in the morning. Sex is noon, and none is 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and compline is after Vespers. Does that sound right? Gee, not bad for an old man. An itinerary, a prayer for our travelers, table of Psalms, index of Psalms, the office of Matins, the office of Vespers, prayers for any office, the divine praises, the breastplate of St. Patrick, and the Anima Christi. So that was quite a little treasure to be sure. That was a new thing in the hands of Lutherans. And there were two editions. There is that one's kind of the plastic covered edition. But I also have a couple of copies of a leather bound with the gilded edges. It's very nice. Today it would probably be too expensive to do, but in those days I suspect that edition probably did not cost any more than one of these, don't you imagine?
Sure.
I imagine. So we come then to Robert Sauer's book, and this is very new, 1986, and these can be found in the bookstore. I saw a price down there, but I don't know the price was for one volume or the price was for two. It was like $23, $24. Is that for both? That's for both of them. Well, that's not too bad. That's not too bad. Well, just a little here. Basically, it's Lindemann's work brought up to date. Rather than Matins and Vespers, the orders for morning prayer and evening prayer. Oh, by the way, did you notice the little cards in the front? So with the ordinary on it. Are they in the back? Do I have them in there, or did I take them out? Yeah, just the you know, and I had a whole bunch of those so everybody in the family could have one. The ordinary is there, and it's kind of nice. So the orders of morning prayer and evening prayer from Lutheran Worship and the Lutheran Book of Worship, I'm amazed at this, that kind of attention was paid, and I'm pleased. Only those hymn stanzas that are in both hymnals were selected. All of the Psalms are included. Daily scripture readings are from the Lutheran Worship Altar Book. Each is followed by a prayer reflecting the content of the reading with an application to the various functions of the pastoral office at morning prayer and the needs of the parishioners at evening. That's very nice. In a few instances, this is reversed. Now, litanies are omitted as they are better suited to corporate worship. Now, Lindemann didn't do that. In Lindemann's book, that book is a treasure in itself in terms of the litanies that you would find there that could be used for corporate worship in the congregation. What you would probably want to do is upgrade them in terms of language. But my, in terms of collects and prayers and especially litanies, I'm trying to remember. I believe in the morning the book features collects and in the evening litanies, or it's the other way around. I don't remember.
Do you think Lindemann is still available?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I'm pretty sure it is.
I think it's out of print.
Is it out of print?
I think so.
Yeah.
It's impossible to find copies around.
Yeah.
Do
you?
It's
out of print now.
I know our bookstore doesn't have
it. Gee, I have about 6 copies. Maybe I could auction them off. There you go.
Increase your retirement.
Yeah, right. Anything. But really, the litanies there are splendid. They're worth, I think, the price of the volume. No propers are provided for Sundays. Now, Lindemann has stuff, I think, for Sundays, but Sauer goes on to say there's nothing for Sundays or certain major festivals. He says, it is assumed that the pastor will be spending considerable time worshiping with his flock on those days. Well, I hope so, when adequate materials are already available. For minor festivals, what does he get paid for? For minor festivals, a section including a hymn verse and a collect for each observance is provided. Now, again, in Sauer's volumes, the readings for each day are provided in their entirety, and that makes it very nice. That makes it very nice because it's really very complete. Now, instead of having the ordinary or the basic order of morning prayer and evening prayer on separate cards or at the end, I note in these volumes that they're to be found in the middle. Okay. We're going through this pretty fast. That's good. Now, where was I going to go from here? I said, well, we have a hymn book, Lutheran Worship. We have Lutheran Worship Agenda. We have Lutheran Worship Altar Book. Are there any materials here, while these books are primarily for congregational use, primarily, not exclusively, that's indicated by the fact that, for example, in the hymn book, there is a thing entitled Daily Devotion for Family or Individual Use, right? So it is not exclusively for congregational use, that there would be resources there that could be used as we create our own, and these were some that I laid fingers on, and this certainly is not comprehensive by any means. You know, there's a section of petitions, intercessions, and thanksgiving. This is in Lutheran Worship. The Athanasian Creed, could have just as well said Apostles and Nicene. Matins, Vespers, Morning Prayer, Evening Prayer, Compline, Responsive Prayer 1, based, it looks like a suffrage. Responsive Prayer 2, the Bidding Prayer, might be of some value for private devotion, I would think. The Litany. Propers for morning and evening prayer are provided. Psalms for daily prayer suggested. Then there's a daily devotion for family or individual use. A daily lectionary is provided. I put the small catechism because I believe that could very well fit into a liturgical structure as we pray our way through the catechism. The Psalms, although they're limited, not all of the Psalms are to be found there. They're to be found they're to be found in one of the other books, just a minute. Canticles and chants, hymns, of course, spiritual songs. That's pretty much the whole hymn book. Why not just... Then out of Lutheran Worship Agenda, the Passion of Our Lord Jesus Christ drawn from the four Gospels. I thought that should not be omitted, that composite narrative. There is a section of collects and prayers, and there are collects and prayers there not to be found in Lutheran Worship. And then, for your convenience, a comprehensive index of collects and prayers. Then, as far as the altar book is concerned, a table of psalms for daily prayer. That's interesting. Readings for daily prayer. And then a section on petitions, intercessions, and thanksgivings that's larger or provides material you will not find in the other two service books. So just because you see something saying petitions, intercessions, and thanksgiving does not mean that they are the same in all three books. That's important to know because we might assume that they would be the same. Then the last thing to show you then is this new thing from Concordia Publishing House. And as I understand it, and I have looked at the video and read some of the material, as I understand it, this is being provided for circuit use, for pastors to do this in a group. Not that you probably couldn't benefit from it. My hunch is that you may not want to pay the price. You can always check it out of the Concordia Seminary Library. This 5 sessions print video course uses a workshop approach to help pastors evaluate their personal, spiritual, devotional life, learn about the value of having a dynamic one, and using a personally designed discipline, pray for the Spirit's guidance in trying various devotional styles. Now, maybe that doesn't fit real properly here because it talks about various devotional styles. It certainly doesn't talk exclusively about liturgical resources, although it includes that. It includes that. If I open this up, there's a videotape and then there's a cassette tape, and I might give you the table of contents. And then I might ask whether any of you who have been out on vicarage, whether you became acquainted with this during your vicarage and your conferences. Anybody? No? Okay, first of all, there is a pre-course assignment. Then after an introduction, there is session one. Session one is entitled, Are You the Pastor You Plan to Be? Then there's an assignment for session two. Session two is remembering our forebearers' spiritual strength. I can show you some of that in a minute. Then there's an assignment for three. Three is spiritual leadership, source, and practice. Assignment for four. Number four, building a disciplined devotional life. And then assignment for five. And five is developing accountability in your devotional life. What I wanted to share with you are some of the folks that are held up as models in this particular series. Thomas A. Kempis, Saint Teresa of Avila, Blessed Martin Luther, of course, John Gerhardt, even Philip Jakob Spener made it, our pietist friend, can you imagine? Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Those are the people that are talked about there as providing us with some models. Then I have one note here. One note. Many of the prayers are in the first person plural. They are not I prayers and me prayers, but they are we prayers and us prayers. And sometimes there's only one person praying those. And maybe it helps us if we are somewhat uncomfortable with that, to remember what is said in the Synodical Catechism. And so I have a note here, and I offer this for your consideration. When the resources suggested above use the first person plural in prayers that are suggested for one's private devotion, the words of the Synodical Catechism helpfully apply. Question 216. Why do we say our Father? We say our Father because the believers in Christ throughout the world are the children of one Father and therefore pray for and with one another. And so it seemed to me that that could apply to any prayer in which we say we, us, our, we pray for and with one another. That's my presentation. Maybe you'd like to talk about it. 30 minutes, I did well. Oh, sure, sure. I have looked at the material, and I've used some of the material. My favorites are Lindemann, you could tell that. Lindemann and Krauss, the first Krauss. I haven't spent my $25 on Sours, but I'm impressed with it. If I were buying, you mean you want this back?
No, that's fine.
You can have it back.
I just want everybody else.
Oh, I see. I see. I like Sauer's books. I like those.
A kind of general question, which I think is one which led to asking you here to talk about this tonight. Do you find any particular benefits in using a more liturgical devotional approach? Even just personally?
Well, I've done both, do both. I would suspect because of where I come from, out of my generation, there is certainly a tendency toward the liturgical, the more structured, the more disciplined. We were trained to have very positive attitudes toward liturgy, the church year, the pericopic systems in terms of not only their rhythm but variety, the comprehensiveness of them, that we didn't become lopsided. So I certainly have that kind of, you know, it's like dealing with the whole counsel of God. You know, you would probably say the same thing about one's private life in terms of liturgical usage or the usage of liturgical resources that you might say about using the pericopic system in preaching. On the other hand, there have been times, and are still times, when I very much enjoy, and I don't know why we can't do both at the same time, simply choosing to read a book, Galatians, Romans, Philippians, and just kind of do that at my own pace, reading, stopping, thinking, being prayerful about it, and moving on until I'm kind of tired and not concentrating too well. I suppose if I were to make a suggestion, I would think that maybe there's validity to doing both, and that we needn't be in a mindset that makes one exclusive of the other. That's what I would think. But I'm not sure that in terms of my own training and my own way of doing things, that I could do the freestyle only. I'm just afraid that wouldn't be disciplined enough. And when we went through the seminary, and I suppose it's still that way for you today, see, I don't preach, I teach homiletics, that you are still, that the prof still tries to impress you with the importance of the pericopic system, the three-year cycle. And of course, in those days, we just had a one-year cycle. But we tried to vary that by 1 year doing Gospels, another year Epistles, another year Old Testament. And then, I'm sure you're aware of that, there were any number of, have you ever seen John Fritz's Preacher's Manual? No, I suppose it isn't. Well, it must be in the Heritage series. I wouldn't be surprised. There was a valuable part of that book in which a number of pericopic systems that have been used within the Lutheran tradition over the years are set forth. And so sometimes we would use the Eisenach epistles, or we would vary it. I don't even remember the names of them anymore. It's been so long. Does that make sense, what I said? But I don't know where it is with you, but and I really don't. Life was much more, the worship life of the church and the worship life of groups of Christians and individual Christians was much more liturgically oriented and informed, I think, then. Maybe that's not a fair comparison than now. But you have to remember, when I was at the seminary, these were the days of liturgical renewal. These were the days in the 50s, and the very notable person of Arthur Carl Peepcorn was on the campus of Concordia Seminary, and he was a formidable person, very influential with many of us. Yeah, he was a powerful man. I'm sorry that you did not get to know this dear man. I've often said in class, and some of you have heard me, I stand in awe of him. He was one of the people that I didn't always understand, but deeply appreciated, especially some graduate courses. The one graduate course that I really enjoyed was called Luther in the Lutheran Confessions, Luther's influence in the Confessions, especially as he's quoted. But Peepcorn, he really looked like, he wore a black suit and a clerical shirt and collar almost all the time. I think I saw him only one time in a shirt and tie, only one time. He sometimes wore his military uniform, both he and Dr. Charlemagne. But it was as though this man walked out of the 16th century into a classroom at Concordia Seminary, did his thing in front of us all, and walked back into the 16th century, only to come out the next day and to tell us some more about it. That's how steeped. He just seemed to be a man of the 16th century living within the 20th century. And some of us probably, I remember saying to my classmates when he was still alive, how tragic is this man's mind. He was a genius, and he must have had a photographic memory, and he had an ability for productivity that's absolutely staggering. That when he died and when that mind was stilled and that computer was turned off, how tragic that would be. And then one day he up and died and went to heaven. I guess you all know that story, don't you? He was just down in Des Moines getting a haircut one day and had a heart attack, and they rushed him over to St. Mary's, but he either died before he got to the emergency room or died in the emergency room. That was before, those were the pre-walkout days, just very pre before that, yeah. Well, that took me off a way, but that was my opportunity to pay some tribute to a man whose memory I hold dear.
I have a question just about, I guess maybe Dauberstein or any of these orders. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm kind of wrestling right now with kind of the free, devotional time. In the first quarter, I had a lot of time in the mornings, so I'd spend up to an hour quiet time reading and praying and stuff. And then over the winter quarter, my schedule changed. I didn't have much time. I spent about 15 minutes. And then right now, I'm kind of vacillating. You know, I would see one of the advantages being just having a consistent time. About how long does it take to go through one of those things? I know the readings in Sour were pretty brief.
Mm-hmm.
15
minutes, I would think.
15.
I would think. And of course, Dauberstein says select. You don't need to do all 12, right? I would think 15 minutes would be adequate. Yeah, even if you don't have an hour to give it, if none of us don't have an hour, I think it's better to be consistent with 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or 15 minutes than to dump it. You know what I mean? Better to hang in there with a short space of time than no space of time. If it's longer than that and you don't have the time, just be the author's guest. Trim it down. They all say that in their preface or introduction. You know, here's a lot of material. It's, what do you expect from these obsessive compulsive types that write books? You know? What do you expect from these obsessive compulsive Lutheran types? You know, we do everything. You know, it's got to be complete. You got to have everything packed into it. And so we say in the preface, you know, now you don't have to use all of this. Just kind of pick and choose. Of course, we're really saying under our breath, don't you dare, but once it's said, it's said. No, feel free.
You know, you reframed this as you said, and I kind of had a frame of my own when I came tonight. I was hoping maybe to hear more about resources regarding the liturgy. I thought maybe you actually had a way of doing devotions around Divine Service 2, Divine Service 1, something like this. I'm, except for Luther Reed, I haven't found very much. I'm not entirely pleased with everything, you know, that little capsule that he gives us. Are there any resources that we could learn more and be able to appreciate our liturgy better? If done in a devotional context.
What was the last thing you
said?
Even
if it's not in a devotional context.
Well, I understand. Yeah, for right now, one of the things, resources you probably have is the handbook to the Lutheran Book of Worship. But I understand that very soon now we're going to have our counterpart to the handbook to the Lutheran Book of Worship. But about all we have now is that volume. I asked Dr. Fremder a few weeks ago, I don't know, does somebody remember the name of this forthcoming volume, this companion volume, like the handbook to...
I think it's Manual on the Liturgy. The name is Vatiker.
Is it? Anyway, that'll be forthcoming. And it will be for our service books. Yeah, you may have more properly understood the material. When Bob came to me the second time, I said something like, what we're talking about now are liturgical resources. And whether he knew what I was asking or not, he nodded his head yes, and I took off on that. Maybe because that was the easier thing for me to do, was to look up books and give you some information about them rather than actually sit down and create something.
LBW also has a desk edition.
Minister's desk edition.
That's a good resource too. It's got psalm prayers for each psalm.
Mm-hmm.
Different things.
Are those prayers not in the... That's right, they're not in the Lutheran Book of Worship, are they? They're in that little brown book.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd forgotten that. Like, who is it? Sauer has a prayer after the readings. He must have picked that format up from after the Psalms. Or maybe it's after the Psalms. Anyway, there's a little reflective prayer.
Is that where the Psalm prayers come from for Tuesday and Thursday evening?
Yeah, we use them for evening chat.
Out of the brown book, out of the minister's desk edition.
They're pretty decent prayers,
yeah.
Too. Basically Christological. Basically.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about now, and it seems to me that for the most part they're kind of little treasures, aren't they? Yeah, they're pretty nice little treasures. Yeah.
You geared your presentation almost exclusively to what we can do for our private devotions. Mm. And I noticed that many of these resources, especially Lindemann, mentioned for private use or small group corporate devotion. Could you speak to, I guess, two related issues? Number one, how we might encourage our people to join us in daily devotions, or even if it was once in a midweek, at a midweek time. And number two, some of these books are, first of all, rather expensive for your average layperson to pick up, and number two, a little complex. Our people have a hard enough time finding the psalm and the hymns and keeping their thumb at the place of the liturgy in the hymn book. How might some of these things be adapted, or are there other resources we could recommend to our people for their private devotions or family devotions?
I remember, boy, am I remembering things I have forgotten. One, this was back at Risen Christ up in Florissant in North St. Louis County, and these were the days of the mission affirmation, so it must have been late 60s. And the name of the congregation was the Lutheran Church of the Risen Christ. And what did we do? We decided, it wasn't a big congregation, that we would provide to each family a Christ candle, and it was an inexpensive candle, but it had a seal around it, a Christ symbol on a seal that went around it. And I wrote, I don't know how I did this, I wrote devotions for every day of the Easter season based on the mission affirmations. I guess it was one affirmation for every week, and asked that in the parish we all use these devotions in our families during that period of time. Now, how that worked out and how people, but many people were very positive about it. What I guess I'm suggesting is, wouldn't it be nice if we had enough time, kind of month by month, actually to prepare, you know, some kind of devotions for the members of our congregations and not dependent upon stuff that comes from Concordia Publishing House or out of these books, and then we make use of these books to do that. And maybe that helps people too if they realize that everybody in the congregational family are doing the same readings and praying the same prayers in some way. Maybe that does something to build a sense of fellowship and family and congregational community. This in pastoral theology was that maybe one of the rounds of your pastoral visits some year might actually be to go into people's homes with devotional materials and actually have a devotion with them as the head of the household and kind of model it for them and then leave them material for a month or something like that. At least that would be a very purposeful, intentional kind of visitation program.
I like your idea of using the Easter season, Advent and Lent are, you know, almost super saturated devotional booklets, and then when Easter comes, there's a void, so then maybe choose a season that's not commonly covered as a way to get started.
Yeah. Well, it worked out for us. The name of the congregation was Lutheran Church of the Risen Christ. The mission affirmations were pretty much based on the words of Jesus, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. that's part of an Easter pericope, and you know, it just all seemed to fit. And everybody was kind of excited about getting the candle, you know, putting it on the kitchen or dining room table, and we'd light the candle during our devotions. And there was something kind of neat about thinking about, hey, maybe there are 25 other families doing this today too, or doing this tonight too, or whatever. I kind of like that. But it did take some work. I remember really having to stay up a few nights, and some of those devotions may have not been all that magnificent in terms of their literary quality and biblical content. I don't know.
Did you ever invite the congregation, anybody that wanted to come to join you for your morning devotions, say, at church? Did that ever work? Did you?
In Oklahoma, where I was the pastor, we had a vicar and a secretary, and every morning we had devotions. Didn't do that in my last congregation. I'm trying to think of why. Probably because everybody else got there before I did. I mean, school got probably started earlier. I don't remember. But I remember doing that in Oklahoma, the three of us. We were very good about that. That was very nice. And then afterwards, we usually spent some time just talking, you know, and thinking through the day. And all kinds of things are coming back.
My wife just reminds me that her father, in the last year or so of his ministry, had invited all who were interested to an early morning thing once a week. Mm-hmm. Wednesday, midweek, right?
Wednesday. Mm-hmm.
Wednesday mornings, you know, real early in the morning, 6 or 6:30, mm-hmm. for a very brief service of word and sacrament. Readings, very brief homily.
We had I think that was about a half hour, mm-hmm. and then a half hour, he also had a Bible study. And there was a high school girl who came with her father before he went to work. I mean, there's all kinds of people.
Gee, that's neat.
That was something really exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, we did that at Wood River, but it wasn't that early. It was 8 o'clock, a 15-minute devotional service, followed by a modest breakfast, that kind of thing. Most of the folks who came were retired people, but every now and then shift workers would come in, people who had been working, you know, the day shift on Sunday or that kind of thing. That was nice, you know.
Meg experienced a similar sort of thing in Heidelberg. When she was over there, that every day, I think it was at 5:15 at the Heidelberger Geistkirche, the main Lutheran evangelical church in Heidelberg, there was a 15-minute prayer service. So this gave people time to get off of work at 5, assemble at the church, and it would only be 15 minutes, so they could do this on their way home.
That's very nice.
I suppose it depends on your situation. If your country's small country parish, it wouldn't work out quite as well, but...
No, that's very nice. You know, you folks are interested in worship. I assume most of you are regulars at this kind of thing, or not necessarily. I really appreciate that. There's been a time in my life when I spent, you know, as a product of the liturgical renewal era, and have even asked for the opportunity before I retire to teach the worship course. I don't know whether that'll ever happen or not. I guess it could happen if Dr. Fremder retired and I were still here and they needed someone. I think it's rather sad that you folks have only one course in liturgics that's required at Concordia Seminary. I realize that we went to school here for 4 years and you go only 3, 4 years in the vicarage we had. But I distinctly remember a course just in the common order of service, a course that had to do with the church year, another one music in the parish ministry, And then there was a homiletics course that was geared, I guess, to pericopic preaching and special occasions, something like that. But I know there were at least three solid courses, you know, that had to do with liturgics. And I really feel that you get short shrift. I really do. But I don't know what we can do about it.
Huh? That's kind of why Opus Dei formed.
Yeah, I'm so glad. Yeah, I'm grateful for that. And one of the while in many respects it was a good move for us to buy our own little home and to go across the river, I've missed opportunities like this because I have to admit it's very difficult for me to go home and then come back again. I did that today simply because I didn't have anything this afternoon. But you can imagine once you get settled in, especially in the wintertime, you've had supper and it's cold outside and all those things, it's hard to get in the car and come back to St. Louis again, even though it's only a 40-minute trip. So I've had some regrets about that move. Sometimes I look at 13 Seminary Terrace and long for the days when we lived there. On the other hand, that is terribly close to the campus. It's the only house that faces the campus, and sometimes I felt like I was in the middle of the quadrangle, you know. A student said to me, "What was that you were barbecuing yesterday?" And I don't really mind. That was very nice, but I'm saying, if they can see me barbecuing, what else do they see? A little bit of paranoia there. Is this all going on the tape? It need not. You can cut this off toward the end if you don't mind.
Nothing compared to Dr. Preuss.
Is that right?
What he puts on tape.
Well, but he's much more secure than I am. His father was once the president of Senate.
No, this is the president.
Oh, well, he's very, he's extraordinarily secure and has been for years. Well, I suspect. Yeah, John?
Well, you mentioned, somebody else mentioned daily devotions, and then you mentioned writing devotions.
Mm-hmm.
I can prove that it works to have the congregation participate in writing those devotions.
Oh, I've never tried that.
We did that last year for Lent. I started about January 1st in recruiting people. I did the work of putting together the lectionary and then assign people a text and have them write a devotion, and then the pastor and I with a doctrinal review and the editors of it. But it took a lot of work, but it could have been an ongoing process, mm-hmm. which we would have produced a continual volume, you know, five volumes a year or something like that, according to the season of the year, probably during the festival time of the church instead of Pentecost, but it worked very well, and it was a way to get some people, very quiet, reserved people who were very pious Christians involved, even one that wasn't so pious, but he was okay.
I think that's a great idea. I've never tried that, but I think that's a great idea.
Very open to that, and basically very, very good theologically.
Then you printed them, put them together, bound them, and
distributed them together.
How did you do that?
Let's see, 600 communicants. But there was only about 30 people involved in the putting it together.
That builds, what were you talking about, builds community?
I think so.
Oh, sharing
each other's things, you know, one another.
Yeah, I think that's a brilliant idea. I think it's a marvelous idea.
Oh, it happened after the seminaries.
Mm-hmm.
Devotion.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Same thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's almost 8 o'clock, so I'll say thank you.
And we want to thank you for coming tonight.
It's a pleasure. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, if you want to keep some of those, I have their extra.